Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard. Will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams' right. Williams going to throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is, Gio. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome into this edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. Let me get this situated right here. There we go. A little bit more normal there. No, you don't want to see too much of my face. I zoomed in. Trust me. Got to hit the barber shop here in the next few days. I know that. But look, guys, we're here to talk. This is a big night. All right. First of all, I'm going to start you guys out. It'll be me by myself, but I'm not going anywhere after this is over. So once I'm done here, and I'm not going to go, I swear. I know some of these have taken a long time. I'm trying to get better at that. But once I get done here, I'll have a little bit of downtime, and then we'll get you guys over to the basketball side of things, because we have huge news on that front. A big name entered the transfer portal today. So me and Josh are going to have that breakdown coming up for you later on tonight. But I got to get on here, talk a little bit about Tar Heel football, because there was big news on the Tar Heel football side of things as well today. A little bit of news last week as well, right around this same time. And so Carolina's got a couple of guys, a couple of defensive starters that are currently hurt. We'll tell you about that. Plenty of audio from Mack Brown's presser today. Him, Kamen Rucker spoke. Listen to Kamen Rucker, but not going to play anything from him. Really, we'll just talk about his injury and everything like that. But yeah, Mack Brown, plenty of stuff to play from him. We'll play it. We'll react to it. That'll be great. We got to hear from him for the first time since spring practice started. So this is pretty big. It's been pretty silent on that front, but he gave us an update of some of the guys that are really standing out. A lot of interesting stuff for you guys to listen to there. And then plenty of stuff on the recruiting side of things. Carolina lands a commitment in the 2025 class. They lose one of their big targets in a position group in the class as well. They land in the top eight for another guy in that class. And then the 2026 class, one of the best players in the entire class that resides here in North Carolina, ends up narrowing down his list to 15. And Carolina, are they on it? Are they off of it? We'll tell you about that coming up here. But as I mentioned, let's start out with the injury news. And this is pretty significant. The first one, as I mentioned, you know, Kamen Rucker spoke to the media about his injury. And this one's pretty big. I think this is probably the perfect time. I heard a lot of people saying this, and I believe this 100%, that he picked the perfect time to reveal this injury and go and get this surgery. Now, this was something that I would imagine was probably known by the strength and conditioning staff. This is something that I know they had said at one time was heavily bandaged. I mean, look, man, this is, you know, for him, it's something that he has apparently played the end of the season with it, played the last two games of the year. This was an injury, ruptured tendon in his right middle finger that he suffered in the game against Clemson back in November. And so he played the final two games of the regular season final game of the regular season, and then also played the bowl game with it. And I guess was going through spring practice, seeing if it would respond, if it had healed up enough to where he would be able to play the season without having to undergo surgery. That is not the case. So he is going to undergo surgery on it. Actually did that on Monday. And so now he is in the rehab phase. And look, this one, pretty significant timetable for this, 2 to 3 months. But the good news is that where it falls, he is, in his mind, expected to be back for summer workouts. Now, of course, for Carolina, they're probably going to, you know, tell him, let's be careful with this. It's, of course, something they are not allowed to organize. It's something that the players have to do on their own. It's team-led and so, you know, player-led. And so I think for him, the biggest thing is that you just want him to be careful. But knowing him, knowing the way that he goes about things, you'd imagine that he is going to take a careful approach to it. And the best thing is that he says that he feels like he is going to be a full go for fall camp. That's huge for Carolina because he is really their best player defensively. I don't even think it's really a question. I know that there, you know, are some other guys that, you know, we look at, saw that they played a lot of snaps a year ago. I know Elijah Huzzy had a really good year as well. This is head and shoulders the best player on the defensive side of the football, especially with Cedric Gray rolling out and heading to the NFL. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy that had 15 tackles for loss last year, 8.5 sacks, probably the most consistent performance that we've seen from a defensive lineman since the Butch Davis era. And so I think this is, you know, a guy that Carolina desperately needs back. And hopefully this is, you know, something that, you know, heals the way that it's supposed to, and he will be ready to go for the team in the fall. In the meantime, you know, what's going to happen probably the rest of the time that Carolina has remaining in spring practice. Remember that the spring game now just 11 days away. So Carolina on the back end of their spring practice schedule, I would think just from listening to what Mack Brown said, I didn't include that cut in there as something we're going to react to since we can talk about it right here. I would imagine that this will probably end up being a situation where they roll with a lot of the young guys. Now, Mack Brown said that Jabron Harvey is dealing with his own issue, some sort of muscle issue. And so he's been on and off the field here recently. Don't know if he's going to be able to participate in the remainder of spring practice himself. So that hurts because he's a guy who's been playing really well here recently for Carolina. You know, according to Mack Brown, he's really been doing some good things. He's put on a lot of weight. He's gone from a guy that was around 215, 220 when he came in to now 240. So getting up there towards that area that Carolina wants. They're guys that play the now rush end position, used to be the jack position. Now they've converted that. The new name for it is the rush end position. So him being out, you know, that's a bummer because that was a guy that would have had a great opportunity. But Malachi Hamrick is a guy that's been there for a couple of years now. Now he's going to get added snaps there. Tyler Thompson, the guy who was there last year, still a little bit slight, it looks like, from what the official roster online has him listed at. But still a guy that I think will get more snaps here because of this injury. And then even a true freshman in Curtis Simpson will probably get a bigger look here as they go down the stretch of the spring. The thing is if it goes into fall camp, they have to start preparations without Kamen Rucker for some reason, then more than likely what would end up happening is, Mack Brown said this is what I expected going into when this question was asked, it would be Bo Atkinson. He would kick over, you know, weighs 265, same that Kamen Rucker does. He has some experience there. He spent time there mostly during fall camp last year, and then eventually, you know, spent the majority of his season rotating in at that power end spot with Dez Evans. But if they need him to play that rush end position, it feels like they would be willing to put him out there from what Mack Brown said today. So Not great, but the thing is that it comes at a pretty good time, and you do have a guy in Bo Atkinson that has some experience, did some good things there last year for Carolina that I think would give Carolina a little bit of breathing room if Rucker was a little bit slower coming back from this injury than is expected. Marcus Allen, the starting corner, this is the guy. So you're talking about the guys on Carolina, the two defensive players that played the most snaps a year ago for Carolina. Marcus Allen, over 900. Kamen Rucker right around it at 894. Both of these guys are out for the remainder of spring practice. And Marcus Allen, it seems like he's been out for a little bit now. The injury that he suffered, it was a partial tear to his left meniscus, was apparently an injury that was suffered away from the team sometime during spring practice or spring break, excuse me. Don't really know what exactly transpired with the injury. If I had to guess, it was probably that he was working out with, you know, someone that he knows, probably working out, you know, potentially with some guys from his area. Of course, went to Walton High School in Marietta, Georgia. So a lot of guys from that area that are on the roster right now or that are going to other schools might have been doing a private workout and ended up tweaking something and, you know, ends up partially tearing that meniscus. And so he had surgery on that last week, and he is expected to be back within 4 to 6 weeks. Now, of course, Carolina will be in the dead period then. So he's a guy that will be back and go through summer workouts. You would expect that the team, again, with him, would probably encourage him to take things a little bit lightly and just be cautious, and he'll be back, should be full go, no problem when fall camp rolls around. As for right now, what does that do for the rest of the group? Well, it opens the door for, you know, a variety of different guys. I think the first one that you look at is a guy like Legend Kavassos. That's a guy that, you know, last year, unfortunately, injuries sort of derailed his season, and it really, you know, opened the door for Marcus Allen to step up and play as significant a role as he did. And he became a guy that Carolina relied on. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, for him, you know, he probably feels like, hey, I've been a little bit buried on the depth chart. But the good news is that now he's going to get a chance to probably step up and play more snaps here, probably has over these this last week or so. It seems like, you know, the injury was something that was disclosed and that the team was already monitoring and had Allen off the field for the majority of spring practice. So it feels like Kavassos has probably been one of the big guys the entire way. It also helps that Elijah Huzzy has been able to move out to corner with DeAndre Boykins coming in once again off of his injury. He slid right into that star position. Of course, you've had when he's been able to be out there because he is playing baseball, Caleb Cost. He's also been taking snaps there. Ty White, the true freshman from the state of Georgia who came in early enrollee, who's looked really, really good according to, you know, what we've heard from Mac Brown, what some of the other people that have been around practice have said. That's sort of relieved the pressure and allowed Elijah Huzzy to move out to corner. So that's been huge because that means that really you just have to, you know, find a way to supplement that other spot that, you know, of course, Carolina was going to have to replace regardless, considering that you lost Armani Chapman, who started there towards the end of the year, and the guy who started there early in the year that you were hoping would come back and be able to grow on some of the flashes that he showed early in the year in Tayon Holloway, who is now, of course, at Louisville. And so Carolina, you know, you look at some of the guys that have had a chance to really play during that time. It's been a lot of the young guys. You know, we'll hear a little bit later, Mac Brown will talk about some of the younger guys at that position. But guys like Ty Adams, Aiden Duncanson, the guy who we saw play there a little bit towards the end of the year in the game against Campbell. And then some of the newcomers, Tyrain Stewart's a guy we've heard a lot about, the JUCO transfer that, you know, Carolina thinks, you know, at this point seems like the way Mac Brown is talking seems way ahead of where they expected him to be coming in. And even Zion Ferguson, the true freshman. So Carolina's got a lot of options there, and they're hoping that they'll be able to, you know, build off of some of the momentum with some of these guys that They've established here in the spring when they get to the fall to produce a little more depth. That's the good thing about these injuries, is that it forces you to have to find more depth. And for both of these guys, you frankly need to, because the amount of snaps that these guys played last year, it's not sustainable. It's not. And so Carolina's got to find a way to get more depth at those positions, and really just all over, but especially when you have guys that played nearly 900 snaps for Kamen Rucker and over 900 snaps for Marcus Allen. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's not the worst thing if you get a little kick in the pants to say, hey, you've got to find some other guys at this position that can supplement it. And so, I think that's one of the things that you're hoping that Carolina can do. Let's move on to what Mack Brown said in the press conference. And you know what? Why don't we start by him talking a little bit about, you know, the areas that Carolina is focusing on. And one of them is exactly what we just talked about.
We've got to develop more depth. We've said it every year, we haven't done it. So we've got to. I mean, and that's one thing that Jeff Collins is all into. He's very positive. He's very upbeat. He's very inclusive. But he, like me, feels like we've got to play too deep, and that'll help us where we're not tired at the end of the year and drop off. And we are playing our best players on special teams. So we are working really, really hard every day. We're incorporating live special teams into practice. We've never done that. So we're going after it. That's another area we've just got to step up.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, the depth, he's right about that. They've been talking about that for years, and they've never done it. Really, you notice it early in the season. Carolina will start by rotating some guys, and pretty quickly they sort of bail on that and say, look, because of the struggles that we're having on the defensive side of the ball, we have no choice. We have to play our best players. And I get it, man. This defense, you know, in order to improve, your best players really have to step up. But the thing is that, look, I think, you know, especially this past year, you saw Carolina be pretty productive in the first half of the season defensively. Now, look, I'm not going to say that they were a stalwart defensively. They were really good in the season opener against South Carolina, mainly the way the defensive line played. But I think the thing that you saw as the year started to go along was all of those progressions that Carolina made, you started to see those progressions, you know, disappear to a certain extent because guys were just getting worn out. I mean, Kamen Rucker is a great example. A guy that started the year just on a hot streak. I mean, two of his best games came in the first half of the season. I mean, you're talking about the game against South Carolina where he has 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, one of the most dominant performances we've seen from a defensive lineman for Carolina in the last few years. And then he follows that up later on in the first half of the season with the game that he has against Miami, where he's really, really good. He does a great job of getting after the quarterback and finishes with 3 sacks. But you didn't see that as the year wore along. You saw a guy that started to look tired. Same thing with Cedric Gray. That's where you started to see the mistakes, him, Power Eccles. You talk about the corners. I told you how much Marcus Allen played. For him, it was the exact same thing. Things started to wear down as the season went along. And so I think that's the important thing, is finding a way to rotate guys in. And then special teams, I mean, look, man, it's really simple. Special teams, this is something we've been talking about really since Mack Brown got here. It hasn't been great. This past year, you finally get the kicking game to be settled the way that you were hoping it would. Noah Burnett was fantastic. But the punting was a complete disaster after Ben Kiernan went down. The coverage units were horrible. Especially the kick coverage unit. And, I mean, the punt block unit, the group that's supposed to cover the punter, I mean, they got your punter hurt. So, along with 2 other blocks. So, it's got to be better. And Mack Brown said, we're playing our best players there. And that'll be interesting to see, because that's really going to test your depth even more. Because if you're going to play these guys on special teams, I know it doesn't seem like much. It's only an added rep, but those reps start to add up throughout the game and throughout the season. So this means that, yeah, if you're going to play your best players on special teams, well, then you're relying on the depth pieces to step up on the respective sides of the ball that they play. And so we'll see, man. I think it's a bold strategy, but I think it's something that Mac Brown really wants to do because he's frustrated. He's tired of the same things happening over and over again with this special teams unit. He's tired of people, sitting back and watching a special teams unit that just cannot be relied upon. And for Carolina, a team that's, got a lot of questions elsewhere, they're going to have to rely on the special teams unit in some capacity. Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, though. And one of the things that he talked about that I thought was really interesting, he was asked about Jeff Collins and the positivity that he brings. But listen to the start of this answer, something that I think some Tar Heel fans may not be that happy about.
I would think Jeff's kind of in between the two. He's a very upbeat, positive. He lifts them up. He's like a kid. He run around and chest bumps them, and he high fives them, and he's cutting up with them, and he's all inclusive with everybody. He knows everybody's name. He's really aggressive but simple. So I really like what I see, and the kids are responding to it. The Thursday practice, I don't think the offense made a first down. I mean, it's the most dominant I've seen since we've been here. And then Saturday was more even, and today was more even. But he's very confident and gives them confidence, but he's fun. He has fun in everything he does, and I think that's something that he brings. He's a breath of fresh air when you look at every day. It's like he's having the most fun he's ever had in his life.
And look, yeah, the first part of it there, I didn't set it up great, but he was saying that he is basically in between what we saw from Jay Bateman and Gene Chizik. And look, I think a lot of people, if they hear that, they're probably going to overreact and say, well, we wanted somebody that was completely different. You should know that you're not going to get that. Mac Brown has a specific type of guy. And here's the thing. You have to give Mac Brown a lot of credit here for going out and finding a guy that he did not have a connection with. Look, he coached against him. That might be the connection that some people look at. But, I mean, this is a guy that has been removed from being a defensive coordinator for a few years now. There is going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But I think that the difference for him and the reason why Mac Brown likes what he sees, one is what he talked about there, the positive attitude. You know, a guy, he said it, and I don't remember if he said it right there. He might have. But, he wants a guy that brings positivity. Because when you have guys that don't have quite that positive mindset day in and day out, it gets tough to work with. And, look, man, we see it. We see the stuff that he posted on social media. Gene Chizik seems like a pretty positive guy. But I don't know if that radiates. I don't know if there is that constant positivity day in and day out where you can tell it by his body language. He seems like kind of a reserved guy. Jay Bateman, somewhat similar to that. So I think that this guy, a guy that brings a lot of energy, very vocal, I think this is the type of guy that Carolina needs, because you need someone with some energy in there, man. This job right now, being the defensive coordinator at the University of North Carolina, is not the most attractive job. People know, man. People have watched this defense for years. They know that this is a defense that has historically struggled, and that in order to take that next step, they really need to do a lot of work. There's a lot of things that need to be tweaked. And so I think that him being a guy that has that energy and him being a guy that has a track record at the Power 5 level as a successful defensive coordinator goes a long way. And you may say, well, didn't Gene Chizik have that? Yeah, Gene Chizik did. But it was a long, long time ago for Gene Chizik. He took, significant breaks in between his time, when he came back, when he came to Chapel Hill the first time, and then even when he came back the second time, he had breaks both times from his previous coaching stints. And this past time, I think, was more significant than even the first time. The first time you saw there was some success there. This time, you could see why there wasn't as much success. It was a completely new era. It just didn't seem. It's what we've talked about with Mac Brown. and what we'll continue to talk about if this season is not, you know, near where the expectations are at. Is he connecting with players of this generation? And for Gene Chizik, I just don't know if that was the case. I don't question that Jeff Collins can connect with guys of this generation. He's young enough. He's recruited in this era. He knows what it takes to be successful in this time period. Having that success at the Power Five level, having that success in the SEC as a defensive coordinator, and having it be more recently than what we were talking about with Gene Chizik, I think gives him a shot to be successful. The thing is, it's far from a guarantee. Now, one other thing that I did want to play for you when it comes to Mack Brown talking about Jeff Collins, this one was really interesting. And this was the Mack Brown laying out the reasons behind why, the main reason why he decided to hire Jeff Collins.
Hired him because he runs a very similar defense to what we've been running for the 5 years we've been here. So there wouldn't be a lot of new teaching for the players. I asked him as much as he could to use a lot of the terminology, and he's done that. So there's a quick learning curve. And what he's doing is I always love the fact that you could look complicated and be simple. And that's what he's doing. He's simplifying calls. Well, he's not doing as much, but he's being more aggressive with what it is. And that's been the fun thing for them. But just listening to them, they're really buying into it. And that's the thing. I go talk to them at lunch or what do you think? What do you see different? And they're all in.
Look, I like some of the things that he said there. I like that. But the thing is, I like that he says they're simplifying things. But we've heard that from how many different coaches? We've heard that from how many different defensive coordinators? We're simplifying the playbook. We're making things simple. Guys are understanding it. And then you have moments like last year's game against Georgia Tech where Cedric Gray says, we couldn't get guys set up in the defense. So, look, man, this is all great. We're hearing that things are getting simplified. Guys are liking what they're hearing. Yeah, we said the same thing when Gene Chizik came in. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel. I want to be excited. I want to feel like they are simplifying things, but I'm not going to lie to you. The reason I played that is because I'm concerned about the fact that the reason that you hired him is because he runs the same system. You may have needed some new ideas. And at times, I mean, that's okay to admit that. I wonder if Mack Brown, if this goes back to some of the concerns that people have, that Mack Brown is a little stuck in his ways. But we'll see. I get it that, you know, completely changing things would have been really tough because then you've got a lot of guys that go to the transfer portal. So that's where I understand the argument of bringing a guy like Jeff Collins in. But I'm just concerned that part of the reason why Carolina hasn't been successful is because of the scheme they run. Now, a lot of the schemes today are relatively similar, but I wonder how similar this is. If it's just, hey, we're running the same exact scheme, basically, and we're tweaking just a few things to make things simpler, then I don't know if that's enough. But I do like the fact that we're hearing that this is a more aggressive defense. But again, and we're going to say this, when we're previewing this team all throughout the rest, you know, when we talk during the spring game about what we see, when we dive into fall camp, everything with this defense, if you weren't already there last year, then you're there this year. Everything with this defense has to be earned. You have to see it on the field. You cannot fully believe it until it is actually presented to us. Like, it sucks, but that's where we are at on the defensive side of the football. And I just hope that going with a similar system and having the energy that Jeff Collins brings in there combined with that Power Five success will finally be the right recipe to just get this defense to be an average group. Let's move over to the offensive side. And, guys, we got to talk about the quarterback battle. Mack Brown said, this was the first thing that he addressed when it came to the actual team, not, you know, with in terms of injuries. And he basically said not a whole lot. He said that, look, it's been a good quarterback battle. Both quarterbacks have done some really good things. Yeah, we know. We've heard this all before. We heard it during Sam Howell's quarterback battle, during Drake's quarterback battle. And in the end, those guys we kind of knew. These guys, I don't think there's really any way to know which way the staff is leaning at this point. But I will say this. The quarterback that was talked about more, and part of it was because there were questions that were asked about him, was Max Johnson. And, you know, I think it was interesting the way that they phrased this one question. They asked Mac Brown about Max Johnson, and has he been good in terms of helping the young guy, Connor Harrell?
Yeah, Max Johnson's thrown over 900 balls in the SEC. So he's been in big arenas. He's been in big games. He's been hit, played at two of the top SEC schools. So he brings a lot of experience and confidence in here. And I think it's helped Connor. Connor's really competing. So as I said, he had his best day. He had a good scrimmage on Saturday. He had his best practice today. And you see, we're sitting out here late, and there's quarterbacks down there throwing now. So they stay out late and throw. But we've got a good player in Max, and Connor's really competing. So they're both playing at a high level.
Look, I don't know if there's anything that you can really read into it. But I do think it's interesting that they have talked a lot of different times about this quarterback battle since these guys have come in. And when I say a lot, I think it's like three. But every time that anybody brings up this quarterback battle, it always starts with how experienced Max Johnson is. And it seems like a lot of the talk is about him. And right there, I mean, that's interesting. That almost sounds like he is mentoring Connor Harrell, which would give you the impression that if he's teaching Connor Harrell things, then that more than likely means that he is the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse for the starting job. Now, it is way too early to tell that. I think Connor Harrell has some abilities, especially with his legs, that Max Johnson does not have. But I do think that the longer that goes on, where you hear about how Max is teaching Connor things, it really makes you start to feel like Max is the guy that's ahead of him. And the later it goes, the less time there is for Connor Harrell to catch up. You know, look, I thought he showed some really good things in the bowl game against West Virginia, Harrell, that is. I really thought that coming out, this would be a pretty neck and neck battle. But when you hear comments like that, and then there's also this comment. Someone asked about Max Johnson being a game manager and really his style of play. And here's how Mac Brown spoke on this. Listen to how he kind of raves about Max Johnson here even a little bit more.
You know, like Drake and Sam, he runs much better than we thought he did. We thought he could run well, but at 6'5", 230, he can really run. So he's made some plays with scrambles that have really surprised us. So that was a real positive. And he's got a real strong arm. So I think the fact that somebody would call him a game manager is probably because his dad won a Super Bowl and he was raised like Drake and Sam in a quarterback family. And everybody knows who they are, but they've been studying football since they were little kids. So he's been very impressive. He'll be fun for people watching the spring game.
That last part is really interesting to me. I think he seems to be heaping praise. And the fact that he says he's really impressive, I think really stands out. Now, again, he was not asked about Connor in this way. So it could have been a similar answer to that. But to hear things like really impressive, to hear him rave about the way that he runs the football and that, similar to Drake and Sam, he surprises you with how good he is with his legs. The area that we've talked about, Connor Harrell has a little bit of an advantage in. I think that might show you that right now he might have a little bit of an edge. And look, it's not shocking. I don't think it means it's the end for Connor Harrell, but I think this kind of shows you that a lot of people thought when Max Johnson came in here that there was a chance that he would come in and probably be the experienced backup that would be there in case he needed him. I got to be honest. I thought that for a time too, but you could see pretty quickly that that was not the way that the staff was thinking of him. And I think this just kind of reinforces that, that there's a very good chance that he could be the guy that starts the year for Carolina at quarterback, especially because you got to go on the road to face Minnesota, a team that really needs that win out of the gate to jumpstart their season, similar to you. And you heard it there, guy that's experienced. He's played in the SEC, you know, game manager. I think he is. I got to be honest. Now, again, I think that gets into the debate of are game managers good or bad. Look, game managers, it's a guy that I don't think can necessarily carry his team. I don't think either one of these quarterbacks can carry their team the way that Drake did last year or the last 2 years and the way that Sam did for 3 years. Where if this team, if other guys, if they can't run the football, if receivers are struggling, these guys can put the team on their back and find ways to win games. I don't know if either one of these quarterbacks can do it, but I think both of these guys are serviceable enough where they can win games in the ACC. And I think right now, if the season started today, Max Johnson would be the guy that would probably have this responsibility on his hands because of the experience. So it'll be something to monitor. I think the spring game will be really interesting to watch. And I think, you know, if this, I'll tell you this, if Max Johnson comes out and really outperforms Connor Harrell, I think we have a really interesting conversation after the game about where things stand and if Connor Harrell has a realistic shot at this job. Because, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but the way that Mac Brown just talked there and the way that he talked throughout this, it really feels like him talking more about Max Johnson would give you the belief that he is going to be the guy. Well, let's talk about another thing that Mac Brown talked a lot about, and that's the offensive line. And I'm going to tell you, man, Mac Brown spent a lot of different portions of this press conference talking about that. And again, a lot of people were asking about it. It's the unit that honestly is probably the biggest question mark for this team, and probably is the biggest key to success for this group. I think it's right there with the defensive line. Maybe the defensive line has a little bit of an edge just because of how much talent is in that room and how much they have underperformed. But it really comes down to the trench play. But that offensive side, you're looking for four new starters there. There's a lot of turnover. And so Mac Brown sort of broke down where things stand along the offensive line and some of the guys that are standing out.
Austin Blasky's done a good job, we had with our center last year. He's continued to grow. And then Willie's been tough as nails, and he's a good leader, so that's really helped us. Still looking at the other guard position, but you've got guys like Aiden Banfield that's a tough young guy that's really stepped up and doing some good things. You've got R.J. Grigsby, but you've got Adorno and Malik McGowan, and both of them are playing and doing some good things. So it's fun to watch them. And then you've got guys at tackle that Trey Green's playing much better than he's played. He stayed healthy, number one, but he's lost a lot of weight, and he's really done a good job.
Well, look, we'll talk a little bit more about the guys at tackle here in just a minute, because he had a quote on one of the guys in particular, but really lumped a group of guys together talking about them. I think really the focus here is on the interior of the unit, and I thought there were a couple of things that were really interesting there. One, the fact that Austin Blasky is already showing the signs of being a similar type of guy to Corey Gaynor is very encouraging. an anchor in the middle of that line. And we've settled it now. He's Carolina's center. I know the last few years he was trying to make it out there at right tackle for Georgia. Carolina said, look, you're playing center. You have the ability to do it, and we need someone there. And look, I know he doesn't have the playing experience, but he's been in Georgia's system for a long time. Mack Brown brought something up that I didn't even really think of when it came to him, was that they have a good knowledge of him, or this is a guy that comes recommended by Stacey Searles. And I know that people will immediately panic and say, oh, what does Stacey Searles know? And trust me, man, I'm as down on Stacey Searles or was as down on Stacey Searles as someone can get. But this is a guy that it feels like brings that veteran presence. And I think this could be a spot where he can really succeed. Because for him, this is going to be his opportunity. He's finally getting his chance. It's a chance for him to not only step in and be a starter, but step in and be a leader. Because this unit is incredibly young. It's him and Willie Lampkin. That's it. And you love the fact that Willie Lampkin's stepping up as a leader. But that's what I mean. That's the opportunity that's on his hands. And I feel like he's a guy that will really dig in and take advantage of that. And to hear that from Mack Brown already, and again, we've talked about it. Mack Brown is an uber positive guy when it comes to some of the stuff that he says in the preseason. So we'll have to see it for ourselves. But I think it's a good sign that he is already exhibiting some of the leadership skills and probably some of the, you know, player attributes that we saw from Corey Gaynor over the last few years. Now, the other guard spot, there's a lot of names being thrown out there. Couple of young guys, RJ Grigsby, that was a guy that I brought up, you know, talking about that guard spot where you could see a guy like that potentially step into that role. Redshirt freshman. I really liked him coming out of high school. I thought he was one of the most underrated players in his class, of the group that was brought into Carolina, at least. Didn't break down the rest of the class. Trust me, don't have time for that. But I really thought there were a lot of things to like about him. A lot of versatility, but I thought that he had what it took to play guard because I think that the mean streak was there, good run blocker, and I think that he's certainly a guy to watch. But the veterans, I mean, these are the guys that we talked about. Jonathan Adorno is a guy that's been there for a while. He's been waiting on an opportunity to step up, and I think this is finally his shot. And we'll figure out if he is capable of doing it, but I think that him getting the opportunity will be interesting to see how he handles. Another guy, he didn't mention him there, but he talked about him a little bit later on, and you'll hear him actually probably in one of the clips that we're playing coming up, I believe. Talking, you know, Zach Rice is another guy, man. Left guard, that's the spot that Carolina moved him to. This is his chance to step up. And I mean, look, we've heard this term before in terms of the season. It's getting late quick for a guy like him, a guy like Travis Shaw, five-star guys coming out of high school that are 3 years into their career now. And look, you don't have to be the best version of yourself. You guys can be 4-5 year players and developing into even better players. But this is the time where you got to start showing some signs. Travis Shaw's at least been playing. We haven't seen anything from Zach Rice. This is his chance to step up. And I think that's the story at left guard, is that you've got Adorno with a great opportunity to finally be a starter after, you know, being in there intermittently, not being great when he's been in there. And Zach Rice, a guy who was so highly touted coming out of high school, had to make a position change, has dealt with a lot of stuff, now dealing with, you know, the stuff off the field. But if he can get that stuff straightened out and really lock in on the field, this could be his opportunity. And then there's another guy that he put in there that I think is really interesting. I think Malik McGowan, nobody's going to really talk about him. Man, he's a guy that has been on this roster for a long time. Carolina is probably going to be more run-based this season. That fits what Malik McGowan wants to do. I don't think he's a perfect player, but I'm telling you, that's a guy that could see some at least rotational reps as the season goes along if you see these other guys struggle. But, I mean, the fact that you're talking about those veterans, R.J. Grigsby potentially being a guy that steps up, and then even the sleeper that Mack Brown led off with there, true freshman Aiden Banfield, I mean, that would be huge, man. I loved Aiden Banfield this past year in that class. Again, one of the most underrated guys in his class. I think he may have been the guy that I pointed to, if I remember correctly, as the most underrated in this class. Just a mauler. Just a guy that moves dudes out of the way. Incredibly physical. And that's what you want in your, in your offensive lineman in general, but especially your interior guys. The fact that you're already hearing his name talked about, one, may give you a little concern about what some of the other guys in that room are looking like. But on the other hand, I mean, that shows you that he is a guy, he's a freshman that's ahead of the curve. And for interior guys, it's not as difficult to get them transitioned because you don't have to move nearly as much as tackles do to stay in front of faster dudes. So this could be something that we could see as the season wears along. If you're looking for a battle to keep an eye on along that offensive line, I think that's the one, because these other spots, and we'll move down here. You know, Mac talked about, a couple of guys at tackle. Howard Sampson was the guy that he's talked a lot about, the transfer from North Texas. And he talked about him and a couple of other guys that have some good length there that could make Carolina a little more formidable at the tackle spots.
I'm sure you'd say older and more mature, and he's so big. I mean, when you look at he and Trey, I mean, you're 6'8 on both edges. And that's got great length. We've really challenged our defensive guys on fewer penalties. We've challenged our defensive guys on tackles for loss and sacks. So he's been blocking Cameron Rucker every day. So that'll make you better or make you quit. I mean, because he's hard. Cayman came up to me the other day and he said, "Coach, offensive line's better. It's harder to get there." So I'm impressed. So that's really, really good. But I think with he and Travion Gray being that long, you got to rush way around them, and they're just huge. And then Leftwich. From Georgia Tech's the same. He's 6'6", 330, 335. So we're going to have three really big tackles that have got length, and I think that'll really help us.
Yeah, and look, I think that there's a good chance that could end up helping you, this group out a lot. And I got to be honest, the tackles these past couple of years have been pretty rough. Outside of Diego Pounds. I thought Diego Pounds was great. I thought there was, a chance that he was going to develop into one of the better offensive linemen that Carolina has had under Mack Brown, and really look like some of the guys that you saw in Chapel Hill when Larry Fedora was here, dating back even to, Butch Davis's time. Both of those staffs did a really good job of putting together good offensive lines. It has dropped off under Mack Brown. And Diego Pounds leaving hurts a lot for this group. But it's understandable when you see the money that he's making at Ole Miss. Whole nother conversation about NIL. But this group, they need these tackles have to be better. Because as I said earlier, I don't see this quarterback group being one that can put a team on their back and lead this team to success. I just don't see it. Maybe, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I think Connor Harrell, if he becomes the guy, he has more potential to do that. We know what Max Johnson is, man. We've seen it. And maybe being in the ACC as opposed to the SEC, things will be a little bit easier. But I don't see him being a guy that takes over a game. Your offensive line has to do a better job of protecting him. And they got to do a better job in run blocking as well. And it start the tackles are really the most important. But the length is something that is an interesting aspect of this, because Carolina, I'm not going to say they've had short guys there because they haven't, but having that extra length, I think, helps you, because as he said, you have to go around these guys. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The thing that I'm hoping, And from hearing Mac Brown talk a couple of times about Howard Sampson and some of the other guys talk about Howard Sampson, there's a lot of positive stuff coming out about Sampson. A lot of people like this dude. They think that he is in the right system now. He's had some time to grow, and he's going to fit well in the ACC. And the fact that he knows Randy Clement's system can only help. I hope they're right. I've loved Trevion Green. I think, you know, we've heard Mac Brown talk about him and rave about him. And he, you know, he said, and he might have said it there. I don't think he did. I think he had another portion where he talked a little bit more about him in specific. He's a guy that, you know, is still working. There's still some things he's got to work on, but he really feels like there is a lot of growth there. Biggest thing for him, man, is staying healthy. That's been the biggest issue for him. But he has done a good job. Mac Brown has said it today that he has done a good job of keeping his weight down, and really, you know, adjusting some of the things that he's doing to be able to stay on the field. That would be huge for Carolina because I think there is a lot of talent there. Those should be the two guys that you're hoping emerge for Carolina. And Howard Sampson's the guy that looks like he's going to be the left tackle. So there's going to be a lot of responsibility. That's a huge step up for him. But with some of the things that we're hearing, hopefully that translates. And hopefully Trevion Green stays healthy because I'm going to tell you, Leftwich, I know he's big. Mac, we've seen him in the ACC, man. We saw him at Georgia Tech. And I get it. Their offense is a little bit different. The numbers are horrific. And maybe he can turn it around here. But to me, you should want the two guys that have been here in the spring, that have spent the most time with this group, to continue to build on their performances in the spring and play a significant role. Now, ultimately, you're probably going to need Ja'Kia Leftwich too. They're going to need to rotate guys in. But I'm hoping that those two guys emerge and that they can be better than the group last year. And again, to me, it's just about being average. Can you keep your quarterback upright a decent amount of the time? If you can, you got a real good chance. Because right now, I mean, what we've seen these past few years has just been a catastrophe, especially towards the end of the year. I mean, for crying out loud, Drake May is getting killed by NFL draft experts, if you want to call Merrill Hodge that. At this point, I don't know. Because again, Merrill is more than allowed to have an opinion. He's a guy that's been covering the NFL for a long time. The fact that you think that Drake's deep ball is the problem really just blows me away. Dude, his short yardage accuracy, his intermediate accuracy is a thing that people question. Nobody has ever questioned this dude's deep ball accuracy. If you think that, then you probably should actually go back and watch tape. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Maybe you're just watching one game. He said, you know, this is the judging off the NC State game, that's the worst game he's ever seen by a guy that's supposed to be an elite quarterback. Well, I don't know if you watched the game. Did you watch the offensive line? Did you watch how they got their rear ends kicked the minute that the ball was snapped every single rep? And that was what he had to deal with at the end of each of the last two seasons. So the offensive line, you got to be better than that because you are literally killing your quarterback's draft stock. You're killing it. And it's y'all's fault. I'm sorry. You have to look in the mirror if you are these offensive linemen and say, dude, the reason my quarterback is being torn up, it's not all on me. There are things that Drake has done as well. But the majority of the problems, the game that everybody is tearing apart from him, is my fault. It's our fault as a unit. That's the area that has to improve the most. And hopefully these offensive linemen can get it done. Hopefully these tackles can be better. But again, just like the defense, I want to feel encouraged. I can't do it until I actually see it in a game. Not in the spring game. I need to actually see it in front of my face against another opponent before I can actually buy into this offensive line being better. All right, guys, we're running a little bit late here. So I want to play you this one cut from Mac Brown on Travis Shaw, because this is the other big thing that really stuck out. You know, he talked about him and how he's a guy that's really grown this offseason.
It's his time. You know, a lot of the young guys that have so much publicity and they're so big and they're so dominant in high school, then they get to college and they're playing against a different group of people and things happen faster for them. And a lot of young ones that are big linemen don't come through. Zach Rice is playing better right now than he's played for 2 years. And those guys get so much publicity. Right. And I think Ted sitting down with him and talking to him about the NFL, Brian Simmons sitting down with him saying, you know, you're a number one draft choice about to happen. You got to make it happen, though. You've been here 2 years, and we've seen some improvement. We've seen some production. But it's time, man. It's time. So step up. And let's start being who you came here to be. And he's really responded to that. He's been really positive in practice. He's fought through some injuries. I'm really, really pleased with what I see with his growth, his toughness.
Yeah, and look, I think that, you know, all of those areas are something that we've kind of wondered with Travis Shaw. And he talked about, you know, I didn't leave the part in there because it did take a little bit more time. But he talked about in there the fact that at times the last few years when he would suffer an injury in practice, he just wasn't able to get back on the field. Mentally, he wasn't able to get himself back out there. But that's changed. It appears like he has matured. And look, man, again, he's another guy that's got off the field stuff that he's got to get resolved. And if he gets that resolved, you know, it's probably going to result in some sort of suspension. But this is a guy, it's going to, you know, at least going to be handled within the team, and who knows what ends up happening there. Probably shouldn't have speculated. That's my bad. But if he can get it straightened out, this is the kind of stuff you want to hear, because that is the type of player that you go back and watch him in high school. That's the dude that can make a huge difference on the defensive line. That's the guy that can change the way that a defensive line plays. And to hear that Jabari Ritzy is stepping up, to hear that Joel Starlings is showing some signs, that's great. And that's what you want to hear. But this guy, I think, might be the key to this unit. And we've said it the last few years with Dez Evans, and he's another guy that is back this year. If he had a breakout year, it'd be amazing. But Travis Shaw is the type of player that can just make can completely change the way that your defense is perceived, especially the run game. Because if this dude can do what he did in high school, which is consistently win up front and just be a space eater, he did a good job rushing the passer in high school as well. That's going to be a huge ask at this level, especially a guy of his size. But if he can just be that guy that is a space eater that can shut down the run game, what a difference that would make for Carolina in there. And that's what you're hoping he can eventually become this season. I think it's promising that you're hearing this from Mac Brown. But again, similar to what we've seen with Dez Evans, because Dez Evans' name was brought up again today as a guy that's really looked good in practice. That's fine. But we need to see that translate in season, because it's one thing to look good in spring. It's one thing to look good in fall camp even. But when you get out there against players that are not on your own team, and we've seen why some of these guys have looked good against these offensive lines, that's where you really got to shine. But I like the fact that you're hearing from Mac Brown that there's more commitment and that there seems to be a hunger that wasn't there the last couple of years, where there was maybe a little timidness from, you know, coming off the injury that he had his senior year of high school, coming into a new spot, and then maybe even a little bit of, you know, thinking that he, you know, had more responsibility on his hands last year and maybe just not being able to handle that. Hopefully this has been an experience that has allowed him to mature and it'll transition into the season. Really quickly, let's get you an ad from the Autograph app. Josh, we'll get you that. And then when we come back, really quickly, going to talk about the guys that Carolina landed on the 2025 recruiting trail, and a couple other notes before we get you out of here. But back right after this ad from Autograph.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEELTUFF. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Yeah, make sure you guys go check that out. What a great app that is. Gives you so many opportunities to build up points. And this is the time you want to build up those points, guys, so that next year when they have these great opportunities to be able to go to games and like they were giving away sweet tickets to the Sweet 16. Now, I know you probably didn't want to see that game, but they also had first-round tickets, first and second-round tickets to the NCAA tournament, a couple other games in season. You don't want to miss those great opportunities. So make sure that you're going there, reading your favorite articles, preferably ours, listening to your favorite podcast, which we know is the Heel Tough Blog podcast for football and the Four Corners podcast for basketball, and racking up those points. Well, let's talk real quick about the 2025 recruiting trail for Carolina, where Carolina added another commitment to the class. They are already seven deep in this class, and three of them now have come from the state of Georgia. So look, Carolina is not doing a great job with the top players in the state of North Carolina. Bryce Davis, the four-star edge rusher out of Grimsley High School in Greensboro, just received a crystal ball prediction last week from Steve Wilfong of now On Three Sports, and it looks like they are the favorite for him. Clemson's a sturdy second, and then Carolina is way back in third place right now. So that just continues the trend of Carolina struggling in the state. But they're doing some really good things in the state of Georgia. And look, Javion Butts is a guy who at the time when he committed was unranked. Now he's been rated as a three-star prospect, guy that is, you know, on the precipice of potentially becoming a four-star prospect by the time it's all said and done. So again, guy that's going to probably be, you know, maybe just outside of that top 500 range that me and Zach Hubbard talked so much about over the last few years as being blue chip guy. But I think he's a really solid prospect that Carolina really likes in this class. And you look at him last year, first team all region honors, as a junior at Jones High School in Gray, Georgia. A guy that finished with 51 total tackles, two interceptions, and six pass deflections. Six passes defense, excuse me, the last one of those. He did end up leading his team in. This is a pretty nice jump for him. You know, sophomore year, played a pretty significant amount, but only had 24 tackles, one interception, four passes defense. So pretty solid, but this year was really a step up for him. And you look at him, he fits the mold of just about every one of these guys that we've talked about. You know, really is a versatile guy that can move all around. Very similar. I compared him to a lot of the guys that we had this past year as freshmen on the roster for the Tar Heels, guys like Aiden Duncanson, who can really play either spot. You know, Ty Adams, similar to him as well. And then another guy that I think he really reminds me of as well in terms of that versatility, are two guys in this class. Jalen Thompson, a guy who, you know, you'll hear a lot about as we move forward at the safety spot for Carolina. And also Jaden Patterson. Now, Jaden Patterson is a guy that really, really trended up towards the end of his time in high school. Don't know if we'll quite get the same thing from Javion Butts, but I like, you know, there's some really good things to like about him. First of all, I mean, he runs a 4.58, very fast. It shows up in the way that he plays. Guy that can really stick with receivers in one-on-one coverage because of that speed, but also a guy that when he's playing in a zone defense, when he's having to cover a lot of space quickly as a safety, he can make plays on the football because of just how fast he is. Really solid tackler. Another, you know, a guy that because of his speed, you know, and the way that he reads the football, can lay the lumber if a guy comes over the middle, and does a really good job of breaking on the football. But the thing is that, you know, in order for him to be a safety, which I think would probably be the spot that he would stick at right now, he does have to get a little bit more aggressive in the run game. I think he's kind of been a guy that has just always been hanging back. He's the last line of defense as the free safety. Doesn't feel like he needs to be super aggressive coming down into the box. For Carolina, especially with some of the struggles that they've had with their front seven in terms of tackling in the run game, he's going to have to button that up a little bit, be a little more secure on that back end, and a little more aggressive back there if he's going to make an impact. I think the biggest thing with him is very similar to the other guys that I talked about in the past class and even in this year's class. Biggest reason why those guys will probably struggle to play early, they don't know where they're going to play. So for him, coming in, figuring out his position is going to be important. But also, you know, he's a guy that I think, you know, as time goes along, there's enough talent there for him to be able to eventually settle in. I think, you know, that speed is something that's hard to find. You can't teach that. I think that his ball skills are pretty good. He has a good nose for the football. And so if he is able to show that he can consistently make plays on the ball, if he, you know, even if he's able to show that he's good enough in one-on-one coverage, he will find a way to play at either corner or safety here for Carolina. And, he's a guy that I think really fits what this class needs, because Carolina needs to continue to add guys in this class, you know, year after year at that corner in that defensive back room. We saw, you know, the last 2 years, Carolina has really, really been decimated as the year has gone along in those rooms, you know, one due to injury. And then, you know, when it comes to the offseason, Carolina then loses a lot of significant guys in the transfer portal. I mean, the last 2 years, you've seen starters, you know, both years you've had guys transfer you know, that were starters. I mean, you've had three different starters, Storm Duck, Tony Grimes, and then this year, Teyon Holloway, all transfer out of the program and go somewhere else after playing significant reps as starters the previous year. So for Carolina, you always need to have that next group of guys there. And, you know, hopefully this is a guy that can eventually come in and give Carolina a little bit of stability on the back end if they need it. So I like that addition for Carolina. He's a guy that I think will continue to trend up some of these boards as he starts to get ranked and as people get their eyes on him. Now, in terms of some of the other storylines, Carolina does lose their top running back target in the class to USC. That is Harry Dalton III. Not too shocking, but this was one that Carolina had a good relationship with. They had established themselves well, and it really felt like this was the guy that they had zeroed in on as their target in this class. Now, the good thing is that if Carolina doesn't end up landing a running back in this class with the transfer portal, you can absorb not landing a running back in each class. But it feels like that's been one of the main things that Larry Porter has wanted to do since coming in. And even before that, Carolina under Robert Gillespie seemed to land at least one guy at that running back position in each class. This year, I think Carolina is going to have to dig pretty deep. There are a couple other guys out of the state of Virginia, Leon Clark, Javon Ford, that I think Carolina, if they want to get more involved with, can. But I don't know where things stand with those guys. It doesn't feel like those guys are nearly as covered as some of the other guys. And it's a pretty significant drop off from Harry Dalton III, who really stood out when you watched him on film. And then there's another guy that I think Carolina, you know, to this point, they haven't offered him, but I think they need to get more involved with. And that's the son of A.J. Blue, Amarian Blue, who is a guy, you know, goes to Jordan High School, right down the road from them in Durham, of course, because, you know, his dad lives in the area coaching for Carolina on the staff. That's the sleeper, I think, to watch at the running back position. And who knows, maybe Carolina can, you know, end up will be a team that sort of plays their cards carefully with him, you know, holds him off to the side. And if they eventually need him, they'll pop on that offer. But that's definitely a guy that I think sooner rather than later, you might see that offer be popped, because there just aren't a ton of guys at the running back position that Carolina is in great standing with. They also cracked the top eight for three-star linebacker Sam Haley, guy that Carolina's been on for a while out of the state of Tennessee. This is the guy that I think a lot of people look at and think could be Carolina's linebacker in this class because, again, another position where Carolina's not having a lot of early success. They may have to dig a little deeper to find some other offers, but this is, you know, an area where Carolina's starting to build up a little bit of a reputation. The state of Tennessee is an area that they've pulled from here in the last few years, and they just got a guy out of there in this past class in Cruz Law, who I think, you know, comes from one of the bigger schools in that area and really helps Carolina's reputation there. So we'll see if Carolina is able to go and get Sam Haley, but they're going to have, you know, a tough test with, you know, the in-state Tennessee is always going to be a factor, but South Carolina is really the big one for him right now. And then there's a guy in the 2026 class that narrowed down his list to 15. That is 2026 four-star tight end Kendre Harrison. Right now, one of the top-rated prospects in that class. Again, it's very, very early. But look, he is going to be one of the top guys in that class regardless. Blue-chip guy that Carolina is going to really want from in-state. Carolina's one of the 15 remaining for him. He's been on campus a ton. He's a guy that is wanting to play both football and basketball. So a lot of this could rely on what Carolina does on the basketball side of things if they do eventually offer him. Right now, they do not have an offer out there for him. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that. But this is one of the best prospects, has been really since the start of last year, maybe even a little bit before that, as a guy that people have really been keeping their eye on. He's an athletic freak. And for Carolina to be out to a good start is great. Now it's about sustaining that success. All right, guys. Well, that wraps it up for this edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. Guys, I told you, stay tuned to this channel because there is a whole nother podcast coming up. Now, look, I did a lot of talking there. There was just a ton to recap, and this is what sucks. The way that things have been going, the way that the schedule has been adding up, it's all, you know, stacked up into these longer editions. We'll get back to doing shorter editions of the podcast, you know, here moving forward, especially if we start to get more consistent stuff from Mac Brown in terms of press conferences. But we have a whole nother podcast coming up, and this time it's on the basketball side of things. So make sure that you stay tuned here. Four Corners Podcast going live in about 15 minutes, where we will talk about the transfer portal entry from Seth Trimble today. What does that mean for Carolina, and where are they going? Who knows? We may have to sneak a little bit of talk about the other storyline that happened today that came out that has some Tar Heel fans fired up. Stick around for all of that on the Four Corners Podcast, which comes up in about 15 minutes. But once again, that wraps it up for this edition of the podcast. Make sure you head over to the website, check out all the stuff we got there, football, all the stuff coming out of spring practice, including those injury updates that I told you about earlier, and the basketball side of things. Read in depth about the Seth Trimble transfer, as well as James Okonkwo's transfer, and all the other stuff that's happening as Carolina goes into the offseason on that side. But for now, Anthony Pagnotta shutting it down. I'll see you in about 15 minutes for the Four Corners Podcast right here on the Heel Tough Blog Facebook page.